I'm Caitlin Phillips, and this is The Side Comment. In this episode, Emily Thomas, author of The Meaning of Travel, Philosophers Abroad, explores five fascinating pieces of advice from some of history's most well-known Western philosophers, inspired by their experiences while traveling the globe.
Hello all. My name is Emily Thomas, and I'm an Associate Professor of Philosophy at Durham University. I am a little bit obsessed with the relationship between Western philosophy and travel. I've written a book about their tangled history and their connections today. It's called The Meaning of Travel, Philosophers Abroad. In this podcast, I'm going to discuss five interesting thoughts from philosophers who traveled. I'm going to start with number one, René Descartes, 17th century French philosopher. Although Descartes is best known for sitting in an armchair and reasoning his way about how the world is, he actually fought as a soldier in Eastern Europe, and he later became something of a vagabond, never living in a city for more than a few months at a time. Descartes' bit of advice is that it's good to know something of the customs of various peoples so that we can identify our own deeply held assumptions about the world as assumptions. He thinks that this is useful for travellers and for philosophers. Next piece of advice comes from Margaret Cavendish, also a 17th century philosopher. She travelled widely on the European continent during the English Civil War. And she argued that although the Grand Tour is supposed to be a way of educating privileged young noblemen, in fact, it's very bad for them because all they get up to is sin and debauchery. She argues that far from acquiring an education, these young men only acquire vanity and vice, which makes them fools. Third piece of advice is from John Locke. He also travelled on the European continent due to political turmoil at home. And while he was there and later, he read enormous quantities of travel books. He was really fascinated by reports of travellers from far-flung places, Asia, the Americas. He uses these travel books to argue that there are no such things as innate ideas. Human beings are not born with any of the same ideas anywhere. And in fact, we only acquire our ideas through experience and perceiving the world and then reflecting on those experiences. Fourth philosopher I'm going to discuss is 18th century Mary Wollstonecraft. She travelled around Scandinavia in 1795, and she published a travel book about it, Letters Written During a Short Residence in Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. Back then, travelling was seen as a male activity, so for Wollstonecraft to travel as a woman was pushing back the bounds of what 18th century women were allowed to do, were perceived to be allowed to do. She had previously published a kind of feminist manifesto called The Vindication of the Rights of Women, arguing that women should be educated to the same level as men and should even be allowed to participate in government. These ideas would, of course, be widely adopted in the early 20th century. In the meantime, Wollstonecraft uses her travel book to strengthen her case. She aims to show that there are causes and effects between how you educate women and how they live. So if you educate women sensibly, they will live sensibly. If you don't, they will live lesser lives. The fifth and final philosopher I'm going to discuss is 19th century American Henry Thoreau. He famously lived by Walden Pond, building a cabin there with his own hands for almost 2 years. And whilst living by Walden Pond, he reflects deeply on the nature of wilderness. He produces these beautiful passages about the value of nature. And in his later work, he uses this to argue that we should be taking care of nature, that we should be preserving our forests and our lakes and our other waterways, that these things are not there to be used and dominated by humans, that instead we should act as custodians of them. During the COVID-19 crisis, I think we have all been very grateful for the patches of nature close to where we live. And I've been glad to see environmental movements gaining even more ground in recent years. That is it. 5 thoughts from 5 philosophers on travel. Thank you for listening.